I describe Freeform as a place, I do this every week at the start of the show, where we explore the lives, the work, the ideas of individuals that I suspect have pieces of the puzzle of a world that just might work, all based on the fact that I believe we can do better, and I want to find out how. Well, then when people ask, what do I mean by pieces of the puzzle of a world that just might work, I often say that my intention is that if you listen to the show 5 or 10 times, you're going to begin to see how we could do things differently in education, healthcare, politics, business, media, community, culture. You begin to see a future of revolutionary, evolutionary, and visionary success. And much of those new ways arise out of a vision that I hold that says that reality is not dead, mechanical, or separate, but that reality is alive, evolving, and composed of interdependent systems. I believe this worldview has been shared by indigenous peoples for millennia. It's been revealed by science since at least early in the 20th century, and it is obvious every time we walk outside or we look into the eyes of another living creature. It is this worldview that inspires the annual Bioneers Conference that takes place each fall in the San Francisco Bay Area and now streams via satellite to nearly 20 sites across the country. The conference, this year, the 19th to the 21st of October in San Rafael, California, is a gathering of scientific and social innovators who are developing and implementing visionary and practical models for restoring the Earth, its communities, and its people. The good news is that for the most part, the solutions to most of our problems are already present. Humane creativity focused on problem solving can explode the mythology of despair. And the Bioneers focus equally on the creative social strategies that can help us realize these solutions by restoring community justice and democracy. And over, it turns out to be the story of how one individual makes a difference. In addition to founding and co-directing Bioneers, Kenny Azabel is an award-winning writer, filmmaker, and social entrepreneur specializing in health and the environment. He co-founded Seeds of Change, a biodiversity organic seed company. He authored the book Seeds of Change, The Bioneers, When Healing Becomes a Crime, and edited the first two titles in a Bioneers book series, Ecological Medicine and Nature's Operating Instructions. He's executive producer of the Bioneers Plenary Series that airs on Free Speech TV and Link TV. And he was a central advisor to Leonardo DiCaprio's feature documentary, The 11th Hour, and he appears in that film. Welcome back, Kenny Azabel.
Hey, pleasure to be with you, Terry.
Very good. Now, I have talked about this before, but bring maybe some newcomers up to speed. I believe that your founding of Bioneers and the evolution of the annual conferences grew out of some personal experiences and maybe even personal trials in your own life. Could you just tell a little bit of that story?
Sure. Well, there were two primary experiences for me. One was that I had a very severe health crisis when I was about 20 years old, and conventional medicine was simply not able to help me. So out of desperation, not out of any philosophical bias or anything, I sort of fell through the rabbit hole into the world of alternative medicine and began to learn a lot about natural medicine and so forth, and over a long period of time began to recover. And then in the midst of that, my father very unexpectedly got cancer and was dead 6 months later at the age of 55. And I was pretty traumatized by both of these experiences, actually. And a couple weeks after my father's death, I began to learn about alternative cancer therapies with all these amazing stories of what Bernie Siegel calls people who got well when they weren't supposed to, these remarkable remissions using all manner of different, you know, therapies and approaches. And so I began to do a lot of research, and in the course of all this, I discovered that quite apart from the war over money and power, which is a kind of a medical civil war that continues right now, that there was a deep philosophical conflict as well between the conventional medicine tradition and the natural medicine tradition. And it led to one of the founding principles of Bioneers, which really comes from a natural medicine tradition, the idea being that as a healer or a doctor, your job really is to support the body to heal itself, because nature has an incredible capacity for self-repair and for healing that we really barely understand. And so that led to this idea of working with nature to help nature heal itself. And that became sort of, you know, one of the underlying precepts of Bioneers. And in the course of all that, I was asked to make a film about a very unusual garden on an Indian pueblo north of Santa Fe, New Mexico, where I live. And long story short, it was there that I met Gabriel Howarth, who is a maniac seed collector and master organic gardener, and it was really my introduction into biodiversity in the garden. He had just this incredible wealth of these living treasures, these seeds from all over the Americas that had been passed on, you know, for generation upon generation. And diversity in nature is actually the source of resilience, because the only constant in nature is change, right? That's the only thing you can really count on.
Exactly.
Whatever it is,
yeah.
It's going to be different. You know, it's dynamic and ever evolving. And so diversity is your deck of options of adaptation, and it's those who adapt that survive in the long haul. So that also really informed my thinking very profoundly, this whole idea of resilience and diversity and what it takes to adapt to a changing world. And of course, you know, we have known for a long, long time how serious the environmental situation is. And so in 1990, I decided to pull together all these people that I'd been finding one by one by one, who were basically working with nature to heal nature, who were looking to nature as teacher and mentor and model, and then imitating how nature does it. And that was really the origin of Bioneers.
Okay, and what I hear in that's profound is a personal crisis with your own body and the body of your father leads you to then an awareness and a vision or a worldview that begins to see well beyond that to the entire interdependent body of nature around you.
Well, I think you've hit on something really important because, you know, for so many of us, I mean, my story is just one more story, unfortunately, but, you know, we know that everything is connected in the natural world. John Muir said that everything is hitched to everything else, right? And so to think that our health as human beings could be separate from the health of the environment is just preposterous. I mean, our human health is utterly dependent on the health of our ecosystems and the world that we live in. And so that's a very direct line, but it's also a wake-up call because so many people, you know, have a health problem and then discover that it may be to do with poisons in the food or the air or, you know, all the massive amounts of environmental illness that we suffer with today, cancer, like my father. And you know, I think in that regard that health is a very powerful motivator for people to change our behavior. And when we recognize that, you know, we're really dependent on the natural world for our health, then suddenly it gets your attention.
Right. And that whole notion, I know that the book you edited, Ecological Medicine, really goes into that notion in depth. But that notion of health as an entry point, because health impacts everyone, so then they begin to say, well, if you know, they won't all necessarily go on the journey you did, but they say, well, gee, this prescription or this treatment for this symptom doesn't seem to be enough. I think there is that possibility of a shift in worldview where someone sees that health then becomes, I think, a criteria or a metaphor that you can ask now, how healthy is my body? How healthy is my home? How healthy are my relationships? How healthy is my workplace? How healthy is my community, my corporation, my democracy, etc.?
Well, I think that's exactly right, and that's the point, is that it's all connected. And the ultimate goal here is health and some sense of dynamic equilibrium, if not stability, because the world will always be changing. But, you know, we've really pretty radically disrupted things. And, you know, businesses and governments, very large institutions, use something called scenario planning. We're actually going to have a session at the conference with one of the real leading lights in that field, Peter Schwartz, where they try to envision different scenarios for how the future might unfold so that big companies or governments can be able to respond, right? And Peter wrote a book called Inevitable Surprises, because his premise is that if you're paying attention, these things should not really come as a surprise entirely. Yeah, sure, there's things we'll never predict or imagine, but a lot of things are hiding in plain sight, and one of the things that we know is that there's going to be massive spread of infectious disease in the world because of the degree to which we've disrupted the basic ecology of the planet, and because of globalization, you know, and how quickly these viruses and pathogens can move around the planet, and because our own immune systems are so weakened from living in polluted environments, from eating bad diets, and frankly, from being very unhappy.
Yeah, and stressed.
Especially distressed, because we're stressed.
And, yep.
I mean, Americans work more than anyone else in the world and have some of the you know, worst health and emotional problems. So, I mean, there's, you know, it's not like all this working has made us terribly better off or happier.
You know, I just wanted to make one more quick reference in this health thing and then move on. But I, Andrew Weil, who I know is, an inspiration of both of ours, he wrote many years ago, 25 years ago, before he was a big celebrity, this definition of health. Health is wholeness. Far from being simply the absence of disease, health is a dynamic and harmonious temporary equilibrium of all the elements and forces making up and surrounding a human being, in which all of the internal forces of the body are relatively balanced with all the external forces on it. And I've always found that to be the best definition of health I know.
That's wonderful. Yeah, Andy is so insightful. And, you know, Wendell Berry, the author and farmer, made a wonderful statement, too. He said that health is membership. And I think that's a really wonderful idea, because it's also, as human beings, we're social creatures at heart. And just being part of a family, you know, counting is really important, the fact that you know that you're part of something and part of a community. So I think health is membership, and that's one thing I think people get off on a lot at the Binders Conference, is getting connected with a lot of other kindred spirits and people out there who are really focusing on what we can do that's positive.
Yeah, so the Binders Conference, there are, I know, people who return year after year, and there's a sense of community and a sense of family and so on, but it also has evolved, and you say there are 19 satellites this year. Could you talk a bit about the evolution, on the one hand, of just the physical event, but if there's also been for you an evolution of the message?
Sure. Well, we started it in Santa Fe, where we're still based, actually, in New Mexico. And the very first conference in 1990, there were 200 people, which seemed huge at that time, actually. And it was almost like being in church in the best sense. People were just so grateful to be able to come together to really, look at the magic and mystery and wonder of nature and how we can take that knowledge and that wisdom and apply it in very practical ways to live in a good way on this planet and with each other. And what was, you know, clear from the very first time, because our whole focus has always been on solutions and what people are actually doing that's working, and it was very clear that if only the world knew about what the Bioneers were showing to be possible, that it could help to seed a national and global movement for restoring the Earth and people. And so a lot of our emphasis over time has been on media, communications, education, really getting the word out, because so few people know that there really are these viable alternatives. But at that very first conference, there was another huge cornerstone that was hiding right in plain sight. You know, I figured all these people, their work was obviously related to each other, and they must know each other, right? And it turned out not. Hardly anybody knew each other, even in the same fields. You know, they didn't know each other. And so over time, what became clear is that getting connected socially and building social capital is as important as communicating these solutions and getting the word out and educating people. So over time, you know, fast forward 18 years, we moved the conference to the Bay Area in 1993, and it has just grown and grown year after year. So there's usually about 3,400 people that show up in San Rafael, and then we moved it into the satellite format, where we beam up by satellite 3 mornings of the plenary sessions, and then all the local sites self-organize their own conferences around that with local speakers and local issues. Because, you know, Tip O'Neill, the politician, once said, all politics is local. Well, all ecology is local, too. We all live in a food shed and a watershed and an energy shed, and so it's really important that we actually take this knowledge and apply it in our own backyards.
Okay. I was speaking early this morning with Dwayne Bradley, the general manager of the Pacifica Station in Houston, and mentioned that I was speaking to you later today, and he said to tell you that that they are picking up the radio series, which is another way that that Bioneers reaches out beyond those 3 days in San Rafael.
Well, super. Thanks for the news. That's great. And also, I would tell all of your listeners that, once again, Terry, you're going to be speaking and moderating at the conference, which we really appreciate and treasure.
Thank you very much. Yeah, this time you've got me doing 3 panels, which is quite exciting. One of the panels is going to deal with media, and I know that it has both the a couple of the producer-directors of The 11th Hour, the film narrated and produced by Leonardo DiCaprio, and then also Paul Lussier, who has a series coming up on Discovery called Final Hour. The 11th Hour sort of picks up where I think Inconvenient Truth left off and spends much more of its attention on solutions. Final Hour actually looks back from 2040 and says, how did we make things work? So it really has to deal with solutions. Could you talk a little bit about your association with the 11th Hour?
Sure. You know, one thing that's happened over the years with Bioneers is that because there's so much cutting-edge work that is highlighted at the conference, that it has started, you know, it's attracted a lot of journalists over time and reporters who are looking for interesting stories. And so I ended up meeting the two directors of 11th Hour about 4 years ago in Los Angeles, Lila and Nadia Connors, and they have a group called Tree Media that had done mostly a lot of web work at that time, but they had done two movies for the web, short films with Leonardo DiCaprio, and they also share an office with the DiCaprio Foundation. So I got to know that group of people, and a whole bunch of them came to the conference 3 years ago, and it really opened up a whole new world for them. And as a result, they asked me to be an advisor to the film, and then they also came to the conference the following year and shot, I guess, about 30 interviews there. And then I helped them to bring other people to L.A. to their studio for further filming, and I ended up in the movie as well. They asked me to participate as a present whatever, you know, as a subject. And, you know, when I first saw the treatment for the film, it was very powerful, but it was completely focused on the problem, on the crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really encouraged them to move beyond that and to really look at the solutions. And the Bioneers Conference really had a big, you know, influence on their thinking in that regard. So about the last third of the movie really is, you know, oriented to the solutions. And it opens up a whole other world of possibility. And from what I understand with audiences, that's really what people come away with is, number one, yes, this is the 11th hour. It's real serious, which it's astounding how many people still have not quite awakened to that. And then on the other hand, in good measure, we know what to do. And that's the motivating factor and the mobilizing factor.
Right. I really recognize a lot of Bioneers folks or Bioneers alumni in the film, and certainly the audience I saw it with, it is that notion that, I didn't realize that was possible. And to get the bad news and the good news at the same time so that you can leave motivated rather than depressed is a good thing. What are some of the key themes this year? I mean, I will admit I've attended several times, maybe seven or eight now. And it you know, there's certain things that are constant because there's a constant vision, but each year there seems to be some certain themes which become prominent.
Yeah, we try to stay current and you know, spin the dial each year. We do try to sort of cover the waterfront in terms of touching on a little bit of everything. But, you know, in any given moment, there are things that seem more timely. So, you know, the beating heart of the conference always from day one has been the science of biomimicry, of imitating nature for our technologies. And we have several wonderful biomimics this year, including, actually, out of the 15 plenary sessions, 12 of them have never done plenaries at Bioneers before, so it's a lot of new faces.
I did notice that, yeah. And let me just tell people, by the way, a guest that I've had on a few times on the show, Janine Benyus, has a book called Biomimicry that really sort of started people looking at this as a field. And if this notion interests you, I highly recommend that book. Speaking with Kenny Ozabel, he's the founder and co-director of the annual Bioneers Conference. The home site is in San Rafael, above San Francisco, October 19th to 21st, and there will be satellite conferences at 19 sites around the country. To learn more about the notions, the conference, and whether there's one near you, look at Bioneers, Bioneers.org. So, biomimicry, I jumped on that.
Yeah, well, one of the most influential people in the country will be speaking, Dr. Paul Anastas, who is now a newly created chair of green chemistry at Yale University. And Paul actually ran the Green Chemistry Institute for many years and worked in the Clinton White House and has done remarkable work. But what he's going to portray is a very fast-moving field that over the next decade is going to completely transform the chemical industry. And, you know, there are a number of issues involved. Obviously, we all, you know, only laugh when we hear DuPont's old pitch of better living through chemistry. I mean, we all know the horrible harms that have resulted from our very toxic system. And the truth is that there are viable substitutes or alternative processes for everything that we're doing to have everything we need without poisoning the planet and ourselves. And so the whole field of green chemistry, the other big factor from the point of view of business and industry is that green chemistry eliminates a huge amount of waste, and it also eliminates a huge amount of liability. So large companies like 3M and DuPont have really gotten on board for this. And in the next 10 years, we're going to see a revolution in chemistry that will be green.
Let me just say that one of the key concepts that Janine talks about is that the way that humans have produced so much of what they've produced is by beating, heating, or treating. That is, they either put things under enormous pressure, under enormous heat or cold, and then they add solvents to accelerate the chemical processes. Nature does all of these same things. For instance, an abalone forming ceramics or a spider forming webs of enormous tensile strength without those elements. They do it at room temperature. They do it at natural pressure, and they do it in real time. And I think that's, as if you think about it, it is the beating, the heating, and the treating that produces the pollution. And if you can learn to create with minimizing those the way nature does, then the pollution goes way down. Let me shift to another topic that I was really not introduced to at Bioneers, but I found a thread there. And that's, in 1819, the Supreme Court declared for the first time that corporations were entitled to protection under the Constitution. And since then, they've been granted virtually all the rights constitutionally guaranteed to human beings. And they've used those rights to do all sorts of things, whether it's polluting feedlots, toxic sludge, big box stores, and so on. There's a movement in the country that Tom Lindsay is a speaker I've seen at Bioneers a couple of times to take back power from the corporations. Does that continue this year?
Well, yes, but we're spinning the dial a little bit because in many ways, the antidote to that system is what's being called local living economies. The idea being that rather than this corporate pipeline that essentially flows resources out of communities and profits and concentrates them in fewer and fewer hands, is to create small and mid-range companies that are locally based and that create a local economy, local jobs, and actually spread the wealth and spread the prosperity. And that's we have tremendous strength in that area this year at the conference. Judy Wicks, who's very well known to some people anyway, started a great restaurant in Philadelphia called the White Dog Cafe, which sources all of its food from local farmers and is a tremendous hub of community. And they've created sister relationships with other groups around the world, actually, not just around the country. And they have regular meetings of their customers to do things like visit local prisons and understand how they can help improve conditions or keep people out of prison in the first place. And anyway, Judy was a co-founder of a wonderful group called the Business Alliance for Local Living Economies. And I think there's something like 450 chapters now across the country.
So tell you what, I think that acronym becomes the source of their website. Do you know it off the top of your head? Because I think that's something that I'd love to direct people to.
You bet. It's B-A-L-L-E, Bali.
B-A-L-L-E .org or .com?
.org.
.org.
A fantastic network of great businesses who are really doing the right thing. You know, and I mean, sometimes people get the impression that at Bioneers that we're against, you know, business or something. Not at all. Quite the opposite. Whenever people say free market, my only question is free a verb? I would love to see a free market.
Yes.
You know, that's what we need, rather than corporate concentration and a giant game of monopoly.
Yeah, so. I know when I had Bill McKibben on the show recently, just prior to Earth Day this year, he was talking about in his new book, Deep Economy, that happiness is down in America, even though material goods are up. And he did a lot of research in that book and basically says it is the loss of community that has not been made up for by the increase in, you know, iPods and cell phones and you know, bottled water and so on. And so this movement toward localism is really, so you not only get the goods you need, the food you need and all of that, but you revive community in the process.
Well, exactly, and also build prosperity. There's a wonderful author and economist named Michael Shuman who's written a couple books, one called From Walmart to Small Mart and another one called Localize It. And Michael just did a study of the Detroit five-county area recently to look at what would happen if people started purchasing 25% of their food locally, and he found that it would create 136,000 jobs, $1.5 billion in new revenues, and $150 million in taxes.
And that was just in the Detroit area?
Just in a five-county area. So this is what happens when you start to localize your economy.
Great. And lastly, I've got to give you about a minute and a half. I know that there's also there's a big component of indigenous people at this year's conference.
Yes, it's always been very strong from the beginning of Bioneers. I live in New Mexico, and I was profoundly influenced by indigenous culture and the work that we did with Seeds of Change. But yes, and among others, we have many, many indigenous leaders speaking this year, and among them are the 13 indigenous grandmothers who came together about 2 years ago when they all had independent visions that they needed to turn prayer into action on behalf of Mother Earth and people. And so they have been traveling around the world visiting with the Dalai Lama and doing many interesting things. In fact, they produced a film of a satellite space bridge that we did from the Bioneers Conference last year with the grandmothers during their visit to the Dalai Lama. And that film will be shown on Link TV in October, but all 13 of the grandmas will be there in person, which is extraordinary. It's a very strong year for women altogether at Bioneers. We also have Eve Ensler, who's quite well known from the Vagina Monologue.
Uh-huh.
And Eve is creating an initiative for the women of New Orleans for a big event in 2008 that we're going to support as well.
Excellent. So localism, indigenous people, women, this feels like home. Let me tell people that the next Bioneers Conference takes place in the San Francisco Bay Area and at nearly 20 satellite sites around the country, October 19th to 21st. And you can learn more about all of this at Bioneers, Bioneers.org, Bioneers.org. Thank you, Kenny Azabel, and keep up the good work.
And I will see you in San Rafael, Terry.
You will. Bye-bye.
Excellent.